Here is the grand finale of my personal views on religion, faith, and spirituality. I left Christianity because I don't sense myself to be a person of just a singular morally ethical system. I take the good out of all religions, all faiths, all spiritualities, all theologies, and all secular ideologies. And I merge them into my oneness / wholeness secular spirituality of humanism. It is my extraordinary spiritualized humanism, if you also want to call it that for short. liveanddare.com/oneness by Giovanni. Oneness spirituality, a key to happiness and world change. What is oneness spirituality? It is to have a deep understanding and experience that we are all one, all manifestations of the same consciousness. We need this urgently because society is morally sick, and so are we. Due to exaggerated individualism and materialism, most people are driven to pursue their own desires at whatever cost. Needless to say, this causes conflict and suffering to others and to the planet. And people remain unaware that this is not an intelligent strategy, even the pursuit of their own personal happiness. This situation is like if every cell in your body decided to act on its own and consume as much nutrients and energy as it could, even more than it needs. Soon, parts of your body would get sick, and that would damage the health of the whole body, including that of the greedy cells. The challenge is making the individual cells clearly understand two things. A, their relationship with each other and the whole. B, what a good, quote-unquote, cell life is all about. Buddha made a quote, but I'm going to make sure that gender and sexual diversity belongs, not just included. The one who is in pursuit of their own happiness hurts others that are also seeking happiness will not find it, either in this world or the next. Spirituality offers an alternative way to live life and be happy. What is the principle that we find in basically all spiritual traditions and that could make a radical difference to the world? Oneness. This is like each cell taking care of itself, but also working in cooperation with others, having the health of the whole system as its goal. As a result, the cells get all the food and energy it needs, together with a better environment and longer lifespan. The need for oneness spirituality. The understanding and experience of oneness can help stop wars, exploitation, injustice, violence, abuse, and environmental damage, among other problems. I like to call this oneness spirituality. If we live from an experience of oneness with all life, violent actions like these would be impossible, just like it makes no sense for the left hand to want to hurt the right hand, or for blood cells to wish the destruction of bone cells just so their quote-unquote way of life can prevail. Oh, by the way, some people also call this oneness religion. Whatever floats your boat. Oneness can improve our social, political, and professional environments, helping create a more quote-unquote enlightened society. A society where we recognize that as human beings, we're all cells of a larger organism. This may sound highly utopian because we will probably never live in a world where everyone understands and behaves in accordance with the truth of oneness. However, this change is possible, and any small progress in this direction has the potential to create much good. What we call small is actually big, and I don't think we'll ever live in a world where everyone will live a oneness-minded life. That is a hard truth. It's possible if we all chose that. Spirituality and all its approaches and traditions offers both the perspective and the tools for this transformation. The philosophy of oneness. Some traditions speak of oneness based on an idea of a common origin. For instance, Christianity says we all come from God and are all children of God. In this context, we are all family members and relatives, and hurting each other would be less likely. Love your neighbor as yourself, Mark chapter 12, verse 31. In many Eastern traditions, oneness is more based on an idea of common nature or common being. Buddhism speaks of the interdependence of all things. I also add, there's an interdependence of all things, all peoples, and all situations as our original creation design, but we have abandon that design. Zen invites you to move beyond individuality, to drop away body and mind so that you can see and live from the big mind, Dashin. Mahayana Buddhism emphasizes compassion as one of the highest teachings personified in the ideal of the Bodhisattva. Taoism also invites you to move beyond the attachments to yourself so that you can live in harmony with the Tao. Okay, and Tao Te Ching, the Taoistic classic by Lao Titsu, says, supreme good is like water. Water greatly benefits all things without conflict. It flows through places that people loathe. Thereby, it is close to the way. A good dwelling is on the ground. A good mind is deep. A good gift is kind. A good word is sincere. A good ruler is just. A good worker is able. A good deed is timely. When there is no conflict, there is no fault. And I must say, that I am the kind of person that says that I love myself, I love others, I love people, I love the planet, I love the universe, I love life, I love the planet Earth, I love nature, I love architecture, I love insects. I love animals. I love creation, and I love the entire creation diversity. That is my definition of oneness and wholeness for myself. I live by both because they're both interchangeable. They're both synonymous, and they're both the same to me, and not just similar to me. Advaita Vedanta teaches that the whole universe is only pure consciousness. Therefore, all is of the same substance and nature, and separation is a mistaken perception. Yoga traditions emphasize nonviolence, ahimsa, as the heart of the yogi's way of life, the cornerstone of yogic ethics. Note, some of these philosophies clarify that even the idea of oneness is still conceptual slash relative, and that ultimate truth is beyond that. However, they honor the fact that living by the principle of oneness develops a mind that is more ready to fully absorb the non-dual truth. In recent times, some people are coming to the experience of oneness through psychedelics and shamanic rituals. I've heard of 5-MeO DMT being called the God molecule because people who take it report experiencing visions about the oneness of all things. The conception of oneness takes different flavors and shapes depending on the tradition behind it, but they also boil down to this, an invitation to conceive of yourself and your wellness as being larger than your body-mind. Lastly, even if all these traditions were wrong, we were looking at it only from a pragmatic perspective, we can see that the concept of oneness is a powerful tool to transform ourselves and our world because it promotes goodness and positive action. The practice of oneness. There are two aspects of the practice of oneness. First, you need to experience and appreciate it within yourself. Reflecting about these things and hearing related teachings indeed helps. But to understand it at a deeper level, spiritual practice is essential, especially in the form of meditation, which helps move your identity from the ego to a larger consciousness. Once you start experiencing in deep states of meditation your oneness with other beings in the earth, then it's time to integrate that wisdom into your daily life and live in integrity with it. That is the third of the three pillars of meditation. The second aspect is translating it to action. The ideal of oneness and nonviolence unpacks into several other principles. For instance, here are the five core Buddhist precepts: not to cause harm, not to take what is not given, not to speak what is untrue, not to engage in sexual misconduct, one that creates suffering, not to use intoxicants. Now, the intoxicants one, that's the last of that conceptualism, you know, the Buddhist precepts, but I am not anti-alcohol. I just developed a social drinker within me. So I'm not anti-alcohol. I'm pro-alcohol, actually. Just be mindful of drugs and tobacco. Like, I'm not anti-weed. I think I would every now and then take puffs of weed personally. I just developed that desire. Haven't done it yet, but eventually down the line I will. So alcohol and weed would be things I would do here and there, so every now and then, occasionally. Every so often. So I'm not against intoxicants. What I'm against is irresponsible usage. Like, it just be mindful of what type of drugs, and just be mindful of how tobacco impacts you. Just be mindful of those things. Can you see how breaking any of these guidelines creates circumstances of suffering? Even taking intoxicants, which some may argue causes harm only to oneself, also adds to the suffering in the world because it obscures the power of mindfulness in us, making us more prone to causing harm via other means. Now, remember, I will say that, as I said earlier, just be responsible. If you're going to use intoxicants, be responsible. Be mature about it. Because that's how I feel about intoxicants when it comes to myself. Anything that makes you feel like I have to overuse, to the point of you're putting yourself and others in deadly situations, or it's life-threatening, then that's an issue. If it's not deadly and you're not in life-threatening situations, and it's not deadly for others in terms of you're not helping them have it deadly and you're not putting them in life-threatening situations, then you should be fine. Just imagine the paradise we would live if most people followed all these precepts. Even in their most basic expressions, these simple guidelines have the power to eradicate much suffering. Oneness is a good rule of thumb to inform our actions. In a way, it is like taking the principle doing to others as you have them doing to you and living from it, but on a deeper level. Living a life in harmony with the ideal of oneness is highly challenging in a continuous process of growth. You could do it little by little. Ultimately, there are no hard rules. Keep in mind the unity of all beings and let your actions be a reflection of your ever-deepening understanding of oneness. Don't be disheartened by how hard this can be at times. Simply keeping this ideal to the best of your ability already puts you in a better space than that of most people. One word needs to be said about balance. Don't forget that you too are a cell of this big body of life too. So while in service to others, take care of your health and well-being as well. If the lung cells die as a result of helping out the heart cells, however heroic that may sound, it's not really helpful to the organism as a whole, is it? So let us act in a way that benefits the life of the cell and of the organism at the same time. Oneness. The practice of oneness makes our actions congruent with our values and ideals. It makes us live a life that truly matters. Whether or not you are involved in activism and philanthropy, realizing oneness and implementing it in your actions is one of the best ways to really affect change in society and the world. It's an act of love. It can be challenging to know how to apply and live this concept with integrity and balance. But if you constantly think about it and have it as a north, it will be a powerful tool in polishing your character, allowing you to contribute more in ways both big and small to the welfare of the organism. Acting based on oneness is internally rewarded with happiness, regardless of the results of your efforts, because it allows us to feel connected to everything rather than feel isolated, alone, and helpless. When you live your life as though you're an isolated individual, the relevancy of your actions and results is more limited. When you live and act with the awareness of being part of a larger role, of being bigger than your small body, mind, life, then you are really contributing to this whole, and your actions matter tenfold more. When you live like this, the whole is also contributing to you and rewarding you with a sense of fulfillment that cannot be obtained through individualistic endeavors. The choice is clear: live and die as an individual cell, or live and die as the whole. The happiness of a cell is only as great as the cell itself. The happiness of the whole organism is far greater than whatever goal the cell can achieve. Help me spread this message to the other cells by sharing this post. If you focus only on your individual needs and you live the life of a cell, focus on the greater good and you live the life of the whole organism. So yes, I live a life of oneness, spirituality, personally, professionally, my entire living. Six Ways a Holistic Approach Can Change Your Life by Emma Milden, contributor, the Spiritual PA, number one best-selling author, columnist, and spiritualist. This is updated December 6, 2017, November 11, 2015, 7:37 EST, the East Coast time. HuffingtonPost.com. I like to think of a holistic life as a wise life. You live a life that you know will be better by looking at the big picture. Living life as holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and being aware of the impact of your action. Holistic has many definitions. Some call it woo-woo, others spiritual, others educated. I like to think of a holistic life as a wise life. You live a life that you know will be better by looking at the big picture. Living life is holy and being aware of the impact of your action. What we think, do, say, eat, practice, and believe in, and our impact on others and the planet are reflections of how we choose to live our life. Let's look at your life as a whole and how you live. Often being holistic has been mistaken with being spiritual. It's not uncommon for spiritually enlightened people to be holistic because they generally are more in tune with their action and impact. They get it, that they are part of a bigger picture, that their body is their number one tool, that the mind, body, and soul are all connecting, we're all connected. What you put out, you get back. So while there are definitely elements of spirituality, I would argue that a holistic approach to life shows a deeper understanding that actions are felt by our body, by others, or by our environment as whole. We are brought up at school and at home to learn the basics of right and wrong, good and bad, and ethically how to behave in the world. However, few of us are taught how to live a fulfilling, nourishing life outside of making money and just getting by. Well, personally, I think that holistic and spiritual are not mistaken, personally. I don't think it's being mistaken. I think that's saying the same thing, it's just different wording. That's what I personally believe. And in terms of the other article, I was thinking about how enlightened means holistic, means spiritual. But none of them have to have any religious denotation or connotations, right? So to me, they're all the same thing, right? I think oneness is how we're designed, but people choose not to make oneness the original design of all creations true because of our bloodthirstiness, our barbaric tendencies is the reason why. A holistic approach to your body, mind, and soul can not only transform your health and well-being, it can benefit your relationships, make you more patient, understanding, loving, generally help you to become more awake as a person in your day-to-day life. Below are six simple things you can do to help add to your life by living from a holistic view. 1. Eat clean. Your body is your vehicle. Just like you don't crash your car on purpose or set fire to your house, how about nourishing it and caring for it instead? Now, this is people's opinion, so as I keep reading articles, I've also learned that it's okay to disagree with writers, so I can say my perspectives, and I can agree and disagree. I don't have to agree on everything. Our body is fueled and thrives better on clean organic foods. Now, you don't have to have organic foods. You can eat a well-balanced diet every day, and you should be fine. So try flushing out the toxins in your body with green tea, lots of water, eating lots of fruits, vegetables, and nuts for a few days. Now, if you like to have clean organic foods and green tea, lots of water, and lots of fruits and vegetables and nuts for a few days, you know, if that's something that you like, go ahead. But you can have a well-balanced diet of everything. You can have, in moderation, fast food and takeout and sweets and junk. As long as you eat way more of the healthy foods than the other types of foods, you should be fine. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. The purpose is, whatever you put in your body, make sure that you're not pissed off at yourself and your dentist and doctors are not pissed off at you either. And make sure that your trainer is not pissed off at you too. All right. 2, recycle energy. Think about how you impact not just the environment, but people in your vicinity. On top of making an effort to recycle more and waste less, why not try and share wisdom? Help others and lend your energy to those around you that might need it. Lend an ear, make someone a coffee, or simply smile at someone. 3, grow yourself. The cool thing about knowledge is that there's always something new to learn, something that can add to your life. People are open to learning, discussing, experiencing new things, less judgmental, more educated. So read new books, visit websites, enroll in courses, and begin to surround yourself with like-minded people you can learn and grow from. I must also add this. Make sure that whatever books, sites, courses that you're on, make sure that they are not thinking for you, and make sure they're not trying to tell you what direction to go in. I would say don't watch the news a lot. Keep the news watching to a bare minimum, or don't watch the news at all. But what you can do is watch the news on credible, independent sites. You know, whatever education, make sure that the people have the proper credentials to give you the proper education. Don't have yourself lied to if you don't have to. And make sure that independent thinking is encouraged throughout the entire material consumption that you're doing. Okay. 4. Stop rushing. You are not too busy. Stop wishing your life and time away. Make time for things that add to your day. Find things that you love, like exercise or taking classes. Do something you've always wanted to do. Stop between the chaos and smell the roses. You'll be surprised that when you stop and recharge, how much more time you have for things you used to feel you didn't have time for. Go figure. 5. Love life. It really is true. When you love life, it loves you right back. Lots of people find affirmations corny, but how about just thinking to yourself when you're stuck on the bus or in traffic about all the things you're thankful for, all the cool things in your life, all the great people. Lastly, 6. Find other like-minded holistic people. They're everywhere. Join people in your workspace who like yoga, at a class, join a course, go to a festival, or even connect to Facebook pages and online groups where you can share experiences, learn and connect with our people who get it, that there's more to life than a 9-to-5, chores, and I'm at a different example than he did, than this person did, Emma, than she did. There's more to life than a 9-to-5, chores, and the hustle and bustle. You'll naturally find that these types of people will come into your life as well, so keep an eye out. So I apply all the 6 principles. I am a health conscious person. I'm a health nut. So I take care of me just fine. I eat well-balanced diets and I eat all the other foods in moderation. So I have, my doctors are satisfied with me, my dentist too, and I'm going to have a trainer soon because I really look forward to the gyms reopening. And once they reopen, I want to have a trainer because I decided, even though I've always had a model build, a lean build, I want to have a toned figure. I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I just want to be toned. You know, I would like to have a 6-pack for all the right reasons. I want to have well-defined muscles for all the right reasons and track star legs for all the right reasons. I want to be healthy for me and people who need me. I want to healthily enhance my already genetically good looks for me and people who need me. There we go. So I am holistic and I live I'm holistic. I practice holism. I am whole. I am wholesome. And I live a life of wholeness, spirituality, personally and professionally in my entire living. I love making this easy. Engage spirituality first to people who actively engage in the world in order to transform in positive ways while finding nurturance, inspiration, and guidance in their beliefs, viewpoints, opinions, and practices. The term is inspired by engaged Buddhism, a concept and set of values developed by the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. Engaged spirituality encompasses people committed to social change from all the major, you know, spiritual traditions and faith traditions, religious traditions, or I say secular traditions. Let's include everybody, as well as people who refer to themselves as spiritual but not religious. It has numerous iterations in practice, yet common themes unite the many forms it takes. For some, the Catholic tradition, liberation theology guides their form of engaged spirituality. So I live a life of engaged spirituality. And I actively engage in the world in order to transform in positive ways while I find nurturance, inspiration, and guidance in my beliefs and opinions and viewpoints and practices and lifestyles of mine. Okay, I practice this mode of spirituality because I tend to hold progressive values that, supported by my practices, because I value galvanizing efforts for social change. I'm a social change person. I see a deep connection between personal and social transformation such that I feel compelled to engage in organized causes and service activities. My activities are infused with my sensibility. My activities are infused with my sensibilities. Hold on for a minute. Okay. My activities are infused with my sensibilities regarding how matters of ultimate concern. My overarching context delineated by my tradition, because I believe in healthy daily living, healthy habits, and healthy practices. My example of activities, I am into peace activism. I am into civil rights and human rights activism for minority groups. I am into environmental activism and service on behalf of those who are called poor and those who are called homeless by society. I believe in local, global community. I believe in meditation experiences. I believe in all-around growth. I believe in healthy improvement and healthy maintenance and healthy removal. I believe in insightfulness and clarity, wisdom, and discernment. I must say, I believe in the individual and the collective mutually support. I believe in shaping and transforming self and each other's correctly. I believe in healthy strength and I believe in healthy learning, healthy unlearning, and healthy relearning. I believe in healthy thinking, healthy unthinking, and healthy rethinking. So, pretty much know who I am. And I do have politically liberal leanings, by the way. So, yes, I live a life of engaged spirituality. Okay. So, to make this short, I live a life of secular spirituality. Secular spirituality adherence to a spiritual philosophy without adherence to a religion. Secular spirituality emphasizes the personal growth and inner peace of the individual rather than a relationship with the religious conceptualizations of the divine. Secular spirituality is made up of the search for meaning outside of religious institution. It considers one's relationship with the self, others, nature, whatever else one's considers to be the ultimate. Often the goal of secular spirituality is living happily / helping others. I know I did an episode on this before. A lot of you have heard this before. But I put new things, so the old things, you get new things out of the old things. Right? So, other people have their definitions. And what I'm learning to do is to speak more on my definitions and speak less of definitions of others. So that's what I'm working on. I'm doing that more in the episodes because in the past, I did get my viewpoints out, but I recognize that I'm disagreeing more. I still agree a lot. I'm just disagreeing more and being more comfortable vocalizing it more often, right? So, yes, I'll just add this. According to the American philosopher Robert C. Solomon, spirituality is coextensive with religion and is not compatible with or opposed to science or the scientific outlook. So secular spirituality embraces science and scientific outlooks. Okay? Naturalized spirituality is spirituality without any need for the otherworldly in terms of the religious conceptualizations of that. Spirituality is one of the goals, perhaps the ultimate goal of philosophy. Cornell W. D. Toit, head of the Research Institute for Theology and Religion at the University of South Africa, suggests that secular spirituality is unique in that it adapts so well to modern worldviews and is therefore compatible with other modern beliefs and ways of life, building community through shared experiences of awe. So that's the life that I live. That fit everything I just read fits me. And notice, I thought about it as I read. You know, shared universal truth, right? I love that. This universal truth can be experienced through a secular, non-religious worldview. That is very true. Without the need for religious concepts of how they define higher power, and without the religious concepts of how they define supernatural being. So yes, I love relation. I have relationship to nature. I believe in community togetherness. I believe in well education. I do yoga. Love yoga. I love mindfulness meditation. So yes. I live a life of secular spirituality. I am ethical, moral, natural, gradual, humane, and mindful without religion, without faith. And there's nothing wrong with using spirituality. Because nobody owns spirituality. I live a life of personal growth and inner peace. I have an adherence to secular spirituality because I have no adherence to a religion nor a faith. My fluctuations on the concept of higher power and supernatural being, it fluctuates in the sense that because I have post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and depression, my views on deity and Christ figure and God, I'll just say God. You know, sometimes I believe. Sometimes I don't believe. Sometimes I don't even know to believe. Sometimes I think God is real. Other times I don't think God is real. And sometimes I don't know if God is real. So there are times where I experience theism. There are times where I experience atheism. And there are times where I experience agnosticism. That is quite true when it comes. Those are all true for my life when it comes to the existence of God. And in existentialism of God. That's true. I hope that there's a loving God. I hope in that. At the same time, I wrestle with tough questions about deities and Christ figures and holy books and religions and faiths and pious spiritualities. I wrestle with those things, but I am a secular person. At times I feel that I'm a naturally secular person because as a free thinking, free loving, free living and free spirit that I am, of nonconformism and being a maverick, I'm those things too. I have a hard time with the concept of piousness, religiousness. I know I say those words a lot because I try to use all-inclusive, all-belonging language, the way I speak. It's just that there are things that don't make sense to me. Case in point, I never understood why gray areas aren't mentioned in scripture. Why? How come complexities, contradictions, dualities, polarities, the concept of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and the shades of gray aren't mentioned in scripture? We say Jesus came to make us whole, then you should put those concepts that modern day trained psychological professionals know. If you know that the Bible's going to be put, if you know the Bible's going to be published by the Gutenberg printing press worldwide, why not put that in there before the Gutenberg printing, press, publish the Bible in mass numbers? That doesn't make sense to me. I never understood the all or nothing thinking, extremism, and black and white thinking I see in scripture, because that's not real life at all. Life is foggy, and life is murky, life is muddied, watered, life has muddy, murky waters. Life is foggy in the sense that you can't really put a number to it. You can't put an alphabet to it. You can't really define it. So the best way to describe what I'm saying is it's an ill-defined situation or field not readily conforming to a category or to existing set of rules, right? An area intermediate between two mutually exclusive states or categories, where the border between the two is fuzzy. It exists in a gray area between legal and illegal, idiomatic, a topic that is not clearly one thing or the other, that is open to interpretation, right? That's what I wish. That's the biggest thing that makes me not practice any religion is the lack of mentioning gray areas. That thing really, that bothers me. That's the number one reason why I can't choose a religion for me, because as a survivor, I need to know that living a life of lots of fuzziness doesn't make me an unwholesome human being, right? And so, yes, life is fuzzy, and that's what I noticed, that splitting concept of psychology is not mentioned in scripture, and that bothers me. So, I get to really read this in closing. This Six Dimensions of Wellness model, developed by Dr. Bill Hettler, co-founder of the National Wellness Institute. This instrumented model, commonly referred to as the Six Dimensions of Wellness, provides the categories from which NWI derives its resources and services. The occupational dimension recognizes personal satisfaction and enrichment in one's life through work. At the center of occupational wellness is the premise that occupational development is related to one's attitude about one's work. Traveling a path towards your occupational wellness will contribute to unique gifts, skills, and talents to work that is both personally meaningful and rewarding. You convey your values through your involvement in activities that are gratifying for you. The choice of profession, job satisfaction, career ambitions, and personal performance are all important components of your path's terrain. And I'm going to shorten this up. Occupational wellness follows these tenets. It is better to choose a career which is consistent with our personal values, interests, and beliefs than to select one that is unrewarding to us. It is better to develop functional, transferable skills through structured involvement opportunities than to remain inactive and uninvolved. Okay, physical wellness. I'm going to just focus on the tenets. It is better to consume foods and beverages that enhance good health rather than those which impair it. It is better to be physically fit than out of shape. Okay, social wellness follows these tenets. It is better to contribute to the common welfare of our community than to think only of ourselves. It is better to live in harmony with others and in our environment than to live in conflict with them. Intellectual wellness follows these tenets. It's better to stretch and challenge our minds with intellectual and creative pursuits than to become self-satisfied and unproductive. It's better to identify potential problems and choose appropriate courses of action based on available information than to wait, worry, and contend with major concerns later. Emotional wellness follows these tenets. It's better to be aware of and accept our feelings than to deny them. It is better to be optimistic in our approach to life than pessimistic. Spiritual wellness. It is better to ponder the meaning of life for ourselves, to be tolerant of the beliefs of others, than to close our minds and become intolerant. It is better to live each day in a way that is consistent with our values and beliefs than to do otherwise and feel untrue to ourselves.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, okay. The holistic model explains how a person contributes to their environment and community and how to build better living space and social networks, the enrichment of life through work and its interconnectedness to living and playing, the development of belief systems, values, and creating a worldview, the benefits of a regular physical activity, healthy eating habits, strength and vitality, as well as personal responsibility, self-care, when to seek medical attention, self-esteem, self-control, determination, and sense of direction, creating and stimulating mental activities, sharing gifts with others. Yes, we all should experience sprouting and blossoming internally each and every day and inspire each other to do that each and every day. So I live a life of wellness. I live a life of wellness in each and every area of my life. Wow, I was able to sum up all my views on religion, faith, spirituality. I won't be doing so anymore. In terms of, constantly doing episodes about it. Now, if I talk about religion, I can just disagree and keep it going and say what I disagree on, but I don't have to do it the way that I've been doing it, which is take a while, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yes, I am completely secular. I'm naturally secular. I am fully secular. I'm totally secular. I'm absolutely secular. I'm 100% secular in my personal life. I'm 100% secular in my professional life. And I am a person who has secular definitions of the divine. When I think of the divine, I think of oneness, I think of wholeness. I think of local/global community betterment. And I think of each and every positive aspect of life. So that is what I want to share. So I thank you for understanding that I practice no religion. Love is my religion. My religion is love. Love has no religions. Temples of compassions. Be the temple instead of going to the temple. But if you want to go to the temple, be the temple that doesn't use the buildings for the temple. Tap into the temple within.